Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Tonight's wealth creation. Looking at wine as an alternative investment, Michael Freyjon is founder of Winex and joins me now. Good evening, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Certainly. So talk to us. I mean, we don't have to necessarily defend, maybe you can give us some perspective on the fairness of trade in wine. But talk to us a little bit about having wine as an alternative investment and why it presents itself as one.
Okay, so, you know, investment has to be used in a very broad sense of the word. I think that people who love wine, and I suspect that's a fair reflection of the profile of Standard Bank Private's clients, are people for whom wine is an additional value to their lives rather than a commodity to be traded. If you're thinking of wine purely as a commodity, then, of course, there's no sentiment, no feeling of attachment, no real interest in the quality. All you want to know is that in the future it will be worth significantly more than what you paid for it. And I think the downside of that, besides the obvious, which is that you don't get to enjoy your hard asset investment, is that it's quite a difficult investment to dispose of in the South African market. Mm. There are very few points of secondary sale, auction houses or others, and the commission that they charge takes away a lot of the potential profit you may have made. So I think we should think of wine as a sentimental and emotional investment in the same way as we think of experiences and in the same way as we think of art.
So talk to me. I mean, there are various ways, I suppose, to approach this. Where you were obviously speaking about going into the actual product rather than, say, looking at it on an index or like a vino vest. Surely the very sentimental and the very enjoyment of the wine is part of what is taken into account in pricing, the year, the quality and things like that?
I absolutely agree, and that's really the point I was trying to make, that if you start off with buying the wines you know you're going to like, and if you happen to overinvest in them, which I do all the time, mm-hmm. I think I like it so much I must have more and more and more of it, there may come a time when you realize you have to rationalize what you're holding. And that's the point at which you hope that what you sell will do one of two things. Firstly, yield a net profit on the transaction, or perhaps fund your future purchases. And that's an ideal way to look at wine investment. If you buy wine when it's young, hold it in good storage and under perfect conditions, and then trade it out so that you get two cases for one, 5 or 8 years down the line, you really have done the best you can. You've had the enjoyment of what you've chosen to consume and the pleasure of knowing that what you've deferred gratification over has yielded a dividend in more good wine running endlessly into your future.
What are some of the factors that are driving the resurgence in the wine industry in SA?
Okay, that's a really interesting question because, firstly, we need to understand that in a way there are two kinds of wine industries. The one is the more volume-driven bulk wine industry, and that really is in many ways susceptible to market trends. So what we've seen is that there is an uptick in sales to China, and that's because of our relationship with China. I think it could be much stronger if the Government of National Unity, the DTI, start trying to do trade-related deals to ensure South African wine gets into that market duty-free, as the Australians, for example, have done. And then we'll see big volumes of relatively low-priced wine going into, obviously, one of the hugest wine markets in the world. But at the top end of the market, what we've seen, I suppose, over the last 20 or 25 years is growth in the number of tiny producers, young, ambitious, technically competent young winemakers who've been seeking out fruit from sometimes quite obscure vineyards, many of them with old vines where the concentration of fruit is a lot better. Mm-hmm. And these are the wines that are gaining profile internationally. So in the sort of markets of the world where the important wine critics look at countries and decide whether or not they are sexy or not. South Africa has a very high sexy index at the moment. Most of the international critics are saying South Africa is producing the most exciting wines in the world. It's doing it in these small batches. These are the wines that you'll see at Winex, and these are the wines that, frankly, I think Standard Bank private clients are going to be chasing down. There is, of course, a catch, which is that small batch wines are intrinsically rare.
Correct.
And the artists will be able to secure that stock before anyone else does. And to get back to your investment point, when you've got something that no one else has, it's the one thing you're least keen to give up when you go to the auctioneer and say, would you like to rationalize my cellar for me?
So just take a step back, please, if you don't mind. So if you're saying that we're doing very well and have a good, sexy sort of grading amongst global markets. Obviously, we're a new world producer, but I seem to feel as though increasingly South Africa is rising and being respected for its old world sensibilities, if that makes sense.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. And so which are the varietals that are really respected coming out of South Africa? Obviously, our unique Pinotage. I understand Chinese importers tend to like our Cab Classiques, but is there any other area where we are really a star?
Yeah, I think there are a few. Firstly, you know, Pinotage is the exception in that it is not an international variety in the normal sense of the word. But we have made Chenin Blanc pretty much our own creation. We always had more Chenin Blanc vineyards even That's than right. France. And in the last 20 or 25 years, the resurgence in Chenin Blanc, the fact that we've got this extraordinary cornucopia of ancient Chenin Blanc vines has really brought the focus of attention to South African Chenin Blanc. So that certainly is a wine that international visitors, critics, the people who come to judge at our wine competitions, they all want to taste the Chenin Blanc class because they see in it something which is both international in terms of an international variety, but also uniquely South African. The other two that I would really stress are Cabernet. Stellenbosch is Cabernet country, right. And Cabernet is pretty broadly recognized as one of the two or three consistently most exciting red grapes. So you'll see it with Cabernet. And we are seeing it certainly with Chardonnay. I've spoken to a number of international wine judges over the last 6 months, and their singular message has been that our Chardonnays are now really rubbing shoulder to shoulder with the best in the world.
Yeah, I do hear that quite a bit as well. Talk to us a little bit about getting our international foot in the door. My understanding, I mean, I know we've got a great deal of export coming out of Western Cape, but to what extent might we extend, for example, a bigger footprint through the Africa Free Trade Agreement or other Global South markets? Are those of interest to us?
So Global South is a hard sell. We do it. I deal with some guys in Australia who are selling a lot of South African wine, I think to slightly nostalgic SAFRs who are missing right. some of their home people. But I think the market of the continent, firstly, it's growing. It's growing visibly. Mm-hmm. Wine is, in that sense, directly related to disposable income. And we're seeing as a feature that the continent is producing a growing middle class and they want wine. We are on the doorstep. We have got trade agreements in place. Mm. I have already had conversations with government about how red tape could be tidied up a little bit and a pathway opened that will bring South African wine to neighboring countries, in fact, right across the continent,
Correct.
Because there we do deliver, we have access, and we understand how to do business in a way that many of the European producers are still on the back foot about.
I would think so. And I hear you when you say the Global South is tough. I mean, I suppose you're battling with South American producers as well. The Argentinians are obviously great. And And I, as you say, in Australia, it's well covered by Western Australia. Tell us a little bit about Winex and how it can be sort of a kickoff for me, perhaps, if I'm listening to you at home this evening, Michael, in terms of seeking out great wines to start my collection.
Okay, well, if you've never been to Winex, and amazingly there are people who haven't, the first thing that seems to strike people is how big it is. You know, there are over 150 producers. You're in an area which is half the size of a rugby field. And your first thought is that you're overwhelmed by all that is available. Yeah. So I think it's quite useful to set a little bit of a map for yourself. And if you go to the Winex website, you'll be able to see which exhibitors are there, mm-hmm. and make your way to their stands. I always say to people, don't go to your favorite producer. You already know what those wines are like. Once you're in Winex, every sampling is free, and you're under no obligation to drink every glass of wine that's been poured for you. So go along, taste, sample, and then decide which ones you really like and shortlist them. And then, although I don't want this to sound as if this is a wine fair and not a discovery, there's a shop at show system that is completely extraordinary for its simplicity. It's not an app. You simply log onto the site on your phone. You can transact there and then. And if you spend over a certain amount, you get free Riedel glasses. But the point is that that will be delivered to your home.
Yes.
You don't have to fill your car with wine. We don't want that to happen. So you can shortlist the wines that you want and love, mm-hmm. and know that they will be delivered to you at prices that are highly competitive and will be exactly the wines that you fell in love with at Winex.
Are there any favorites, or are you not allowed to pick a favorite because they're all your babies?
I don't pick favorites whether I'm allowed to or not.
Okay.
Somebody once said his favorite wine is the one that's in his glass at the time. And I'm one of those guys. I love the wine I have in front of me.
And if not favorites, any new exhibitors that we should be paying attention to? You did mention sort of smaller farms. And it's always interesting to see who the ones are on the come up.
So I do think, and I'm not evading the question, I do think that the trick is to go to the website, see okay. who's there, see the names that you've heard about but never had a chance to sample the wines. The logic of the wine industry is really tricky. There are 5,000 to 8,000 different wines in South Africa. Many of them never land up on wine merchants' shelves
sure.
because there isn't the shelf space. So Winex gives people the opportunity to get the Cape to come to them rather than to have to do it one cellar at a time on a long road in between.
Fair enough. And that is, of course, the Standard Bank Private Winex. That'll be taking place on the 30th of October till the 1st of November this year at the Sandton Convention Centre. Feel free to go to winex.co.za to buy your tickets now and participate in this fantastic annual event. Michael Fredrian, thank you so much for giving us your over 4 decades of insight in a short amount of time and helping us understand a little bit more about wine as an alternative investment.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.